Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
This is Angela Jones, your host with another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, sponsored by Brighter Day Law. Today we have with us Andrew Vose, the founder and fearless leader of PPG, Prosperity Property Group, here in Colorado Springs. Welcome, Andrew.
How's it going today? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited to get to spend some time with you here today. We were kind of chatting before we went on the air about you and I go not super far back, but a ways back.
A lot of stuff has happened, you know. So.
And, you know, we're family friends as well as business colleagues. And so I'm really looking forward to a chance to catch up, but also for our listeners to get a chance to get to know you better, because, boy, have you got a story.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on here. Definitely an honor. You know, you've done a lot for me. We'll kind of leave it at that, but very appreciative of that.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump right into, I know you have a new book coming out, and I know that your book, tells your story. So I'm just going to, dive right in there and ask you to talk about your book and like what inspired you to write that.
Yeah. So it kind of started, I don't know how deep we're going, but my background, growing up, just kind of putting myself through these trials and tribulations. I had a great home life, so I don't know why I put myself through it, but it definitely helped out for today, like now. But it's called The Grind, because I feel like a salmon, right? I've always put myself in these situations, always swimming uphill, grinding it out, but there's like four major lessons in there, and the book's going to be free, the first 100 copies. So if anybody wants to get one, definitely hit me up on Instagram at Andrew M. Vose, and I'll send you one. But it's just all the lessons that I've kind of learned, like, perseverance, consistency, being persistent, not being scared to ask for help and reach out to people and using your network, and just a ton of stuff.
Let's break down the four different, because I'm sure you've got it like parsed out into four sections, and I definitely want that advanced copy. So let's parse that out. Look, what are those four areas that you've, broken down in The Grind?
Yeah, so persistence and consistency, right? So I see it all the time. My six-year-old, she's just on tunnel vision. She just sets her mind on something, it's just there, it never goes away. She's just asking over and over and over again, right? And I think somewhere along the way, adults stop doing that. Like, they get told no, right? You get told no as a kid like 400 plus thousand times throughout your childhood. Yeah. So like somewhere in your brain, you're like reprogrammed to not ask or not.
Yeah, remember that, what was that cartoon where it was like ma,
I don't know. But
do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I do, but it's just kind of so like just being over, when you want something, don't accept no, right? Mm-hmm. Be solution oriented. So that's kind of one of the lessons there. And then it's more broad, but it was just like my upbringing, like going to juvie, doing all that stuff for like 9 months when I was 15, losing my dad, the loss part of it.
Right.
And then part of it is the military, the leadership all the six deployments and stuff like that. So.
Okay. So is the consistency and persistence just those two part, that's two, and they're kind of interrelated?
Yeah, they're intertwined, right?
Okay. Yeah. So actually, I don't know that I know about your juvie stint.
Yeah. I was... Yep. It was, it's funny to laugh about it now, because it was like 9 months of, I don't know, I just wore these like orange or these like red sweaters and khaki pants, and we'd just walk around in like this gated community. It was kind of strange, but
let's talk about not necessarily, what charge you caught to get there, but, like, what, where were you? Like, how was that pivotal for you? Like, what trajectory were you on? And then, I mean, obviously that was a turning point. So, like, what trajectory were you on? And then what lessons did you pick up, you know, through that, that helped to shift? And I know, hey, look, you know, one of the things we talk about, you know, I talk about with people a lot of time, a lot of time people think, like, you know, success is like, oh, you go from point A to point B and it's a direct line. But it's not. It's more often like a flight plan. Okay. So we know where we are and we know our destination. Like yesterday, I flew from Nashville to Denver, you know, and the pilot's got a plan, you know, a general idea of, you know, what's going to get us from here to there in X period of time. But throughout that flight, and I know this because my husband's a pilot, there are constant adjustments. There's adjustments in altitude. There's, you know, turns to the right, to the left. You may get almost to your destination, have to start circling.
Especially in Denver.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's always bumpy in Denver, too. Yeah. Yesterday, we actually only hit one of the big air pockets, you know, and normally there's two, and you're always waiting for it. But, yeah, so, you know, and I know, and I say this because I saw the look on your face. You're kind of like, well, I learned, but maybe you didn't go straight from juvenile to where you are today.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, I'm very interested to like that nugget, that one thing that you think you might have picked up there.
Yeah. So I think it was street smarts, right? Because I was just this from the suburbs, you know, kind of a spoiled rotten kid, right? Had everything I wanted. I was the only child. Go there and it's just all these inner city kids. I'm like, like I said, I'm from the suburbs. So didn't really know how to fight. I was just a punk, right? So kind of had to go there, kind of learn the lay of the land. Mm-hmm, they're all coming from up New York City or down in New York City. I'm in upstate, you know, so they different mentality down there. So that it taught me street smarts. And I think the street smarts comes with a lot of like thinking on your feet, being able to problem solve really, really fast, a lot faster than having to take a pause sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, before you know it, that situation's already past you and there is really no resolution, right? So I think the street smarts definitely is the one nugget. It helped me, like common sense.
Well, and I think that's interesting because what I'm taking from, you know, the idea, would you say that's the same thing as grit or that's different?
I think they could be intertwined. I think they can be the same. I mean, grit is just, you know, getting down in the trenches and just not accepting defeat, I think. It's just like you just go and go and go and then you just come up for air once in a while, then you just go and go and go. I think that's why I like the name of the book, The Grind, because that's kind of where I've feel like I've been, you know?
So you're talking a little bit more than more like about like emotional intelligence.
Which we all, I think a lot of people, probably including myself, you know, there's a gap in emotional intelligence, you know, sometimes. So,
well, like being able to read the crowd and be able to, okay, or like Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to hold them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
There's
you're bringing Nashville here, huh?
I am. Well, I was there this weekend. I had reached out to one of my support staff members and over the weekend, they were like, you look really happy. You sound like, you know, my kids will know if I get on the phone with anyone from Nashville. It's like, who have you been talking to?
Yeah.
I can hear it. Can hear it. But no, unfortunately, Kenny Rogers is no longer with us. But, you know, everybody I know loves The Gambler.
Yeah, I mean, I love country music. Even being from upstate New York, I was telling Michelle earlier that I lived in Pensacola for 6 years, and the the South just kind of grew on me, you know?
Right.
I mean, I feel like sometimes I even try to have the Southern accent, which I don't. I just sound like I'm from upstate New York. But yeah. So I definitely appreciate the South and country and stuff like that.
What I really appreciate is that you recognize that Pensacola is the South, because a lot of people think Florida, and the next thing you know, it's Miami, right? And it's not. It's like a whole different world. And I grew up in North Florida, not on the Panhandle. Were you there through the Navy?
Army.
Yep. So you, okay, well, we'll talk about that in just a sec, because I was kind of wondering how you got to Pensacola.
Yeah.
You know, most people do through, if they're not from Florida, they do through the military. Yep. But, yeah, just that whole area is very much Southern Georgia and Lower Alabama, like Pensacola more so, Lower Alabama.
Especially Crestview.
Right.
Yeah, it's basically Lower Alabama.
Exactly. And so, so tell me about that. Tell me about, like, and you know, how you went to join the service, and you enlisted in the service relatively early, right?
Yeah, so I went to college. So I got out of juvie, right, at 16, got my license, kind of run around just super street smart, right? I wasn't getting caught. I was on state probation. I was still doing dumb stuff.
Right.
Went to college, went to a community. I actually was supposed to go to Rhode Island for school because my senior year, aside of everything I was doing wrong, I was doing academically really good.
Right.
So I got a scholarship to Rhode Island, and then I chose to move in with my girlfriend in New York, you know, and that kind of crumbled really fast. So we were young. We were together like all through high school. So did that, and then went to college and just partied a lot. So wasted my mom's money, woke up, I was out of shape, and I was not happy, and I just joined the military. Took me a month to get clean from like weed and stuff, so hope I could say that on here. But so I joined the military, and I actually signed a Ranger contract going in. But by the time I got through airborne school, I was just so burned out from training that I went to a regular unit, 82nd. Then I got deployed 30 days later to Iraq, and I was like, okay, cool. When I get back, I'm going to Ranger Battalion.
Right.
So I did that, was in Ranger Battalion for 3 years, three deployments too, and then I went to Florida to a Special Forces group as a support guy.
Right. Yeah. And so you have worked with Special Forces, or you did work with Special Forces from that point forward, right?
Yep. Okay. And even as a contractor when I got out.
Okay.
So.
And, you know, and I know that transition, you've transitioned from working with the military, in the military, and as a contractor to primarily, well, and not exclusively, but your focus, a lot of your current business is on serving military families.
Yeah, we work, like I would say probably, I don't know the exact number, but it'd probably be like 90% veterans, right? Which is awesome because it kind of, when you get out of the military, you lose that camaraderie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just working side by side with men and women that have the same common goal, regardless of you put religion, all that stuff aside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Politics, and you all have a common goal, like get home together, work hard, you know, and you kind of lose that. At least I did when I got out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, people are lazy, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I thought, because I was like working with a bunch of contractors now, and they're all getting paid like ridiculous amounts of money to work like 4 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
I was one of them. So I knew that was actually happening. So I just missed it.
It.
So then when I started working with veterans, I kind of built a business through Fort Carson, like just passing out cards.
Yeah.
Not supposed to do that. It's definitely a conflict of interest, but it built my business, right? I love working with veterans. It's hard, you know. The market the last year and a half has been hard for VA.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate your transparency. I want to remind our listeners that they're listening to KPPF and The Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones, and our special guest, Andrew Vose. So, well, you know, in talking about that, like the camaraderie, you know, have you found that, the camaraderie again, you know, as you, you know, begun to serve the military community, military families in this new way?
I think I have, right? Through the realtor partners that we have, the vendors, we work with a ton of military or veterans still, right? Like one of our preferred inspectors, he's former Marine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of go, we can have that little banter back and forth. We, you know, joke around. And so, yeah, I think that was one of the parts that I missed, is being able to like joke around with people and just, cause I worked with all guys at one point.
Right.
So, which not saying it just, but we just had a different sense of humor. So when I got out, it was like, yeah, I can't joke like this no more, right? Because it's not like good. And people aren't going to. But yeah, I mean, with our agents that we have now on our team, you know, your son, Daniel, veteran, he has the same similar mentality as us. You know, Tess's husband, one of our partners, her husband's a former captain, engineer.
Mm.
So yeah, we get to work around it all the time. It's good.
Right. And have you, I know you said things have been tough for the VA. What did you mean by that?
The market, we've had very limited inventory the past 18 months. And people look at an FHA loan or a VA loan, and they're like, ooh, you know, because the appraisal is sometimes harder, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's a government-backed loan. They want to make sure that somebody's walking into the house mm-hmm. and it's 90% good to go. They don't have to replace carpet.
Right.
Decks are safe, all that stuff. So when you have a cash offer, like you got a lot of big companies mm-hmm. like Home Partners of America that are coming in and they're paying cash $50,000 over, how can a veteran, a 19-year-old kid that just got married to a girl he's been with for a while, he has no money saved up to compete with a cash offer like that. So they've just been getting beat up is all. But the market's starting to shift. We just got a VA offer accepted last night, so.
Right, so you just have techniques that you use.
Yeah, it's like verbiage in the contract, just making it the terms the best for the seller, asking what's important to the seller, what can the buyer honestly afford, you know, not put mm-hmm. them in a spot where they're just paying a mortgage to survive, right? So yeah, it's just asking questions and just trying to find a common ground.
So what is this? I don't know what the home, you know, the 50,000 over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So Home Partners of America, they have a really cool program. So people that can't get a loan or they're not in a position to, they'll come and buy cash and then you can buy the house out from them within a year. So it's kind of like a lease to
It's like a lease option for people that otherwise couldn't buy a home. But then, of course, they're actually paying the premium, the $50,000 over appraisal.
Yeah. So the people, they have the chance to buy it over the next 2 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
The rent goes up every month or every year, excuse me. And then they have to pay a premium on top of that, right? So they're not getting the property wholesale.
Right. They're getting a deal. Well, and I don't know, just from my perspective, that's a... If the market will bear it, I guess. But at that same time, it seems it's kind of pushing market prices up.
I agree. I think it was really good for people selling and buying at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the people at the end when the market starts to stabilize or it goes down? Right. And I'm not saying I don't have a crystal ball. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody's going to take the hit.
Right.
Right. It may not be right this second, but somebody down the road is going to have to take it buyer-wise,
right. Just in terms of, in that same thing, I guess, in markets where prices go up in New York City or DC or something like that, they tend to go up and then plateau and then go up some more and then plateau
again.
Yeah,
it's all cyclical. Yep.
Yeah. So have you seen much of a shift yet, or are we kind of on an upward trajectory still?
We have seen it. It actually happened about 2 weeks ago where we were seeing like 10 to 20 offers.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing 3 to 5.
Mm.
You really have to be careful on pricing now as a seller. You don't want to price it too aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to go below fair market value than it is needle in a haystack. We call it like when people price it at the very top of that market, call it needle in a haystack because you're looking for that one buyer that just walks in, they love the house.
Right.
The wife is like telling the husband, like, hey, we're getting this house. I don't care what we have to pay, right?
Right,
so,
right.
But those are few and far between right now, especially with getting closer to the middle of summer, coming up to school, you know, things slow
because
down.
Because people like to move in July.
Yep,
right?
Yep, and they don't want to be moving while their kids are just starting school in August. So.
Right. So would you say it's right now is a good time if you want to sell to kind of
I think
throw
it's a good time.
Ring?
Of course. Yeah, I think it's going to always be a good time, especially in our market with 4 military bases plus the academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it'll always be a good time. I think it was the wild, wild west for a while.
Right.
You saw agents that didn't really know what they were doing, but you didn't have to know because the market was so good. And I'm not knocking it, right?
Right, of course.
I've definitely overpriced houses or underpriced houses, right? It's human, right? But I think it's going to weed out some agents, and you just want to be careful on the pricing. And buyers are going to start not having to pay so much over, which would be good, yeah.
So it's kind of leveling out, making it, and that should help your clients, the ones that you,
the buyers,
the VA
folks.
And I think that's a good thing. That's a really good thing for folks in our community. I've heard that you have bought a new place too recently. Is that right?
That is true. We close on that house next Friday.
Mm.
I say we because it's basically going to be like a team house. You know,
nice.
I already have people coming there. We're going to host events there. So I'm getting my Florida real estate license. We already started building a team there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to kind of go there since I have a background and a network there. Mm-hmm. I worked a lot with Quint Studer there, which owns like half of Pensacola.
Right.
I was on his round table, so I'm going to try to get back in with him, mm-hmm. just kind of get back in the community, Women's Council, Realtor Association, mm-hmm. all that stuff, and just have fun on the beach, I think.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I'll probably paddleboard a lot. But
and so the group, the realty group that you're with, you know, that's a little unique in the market as well.
Yeah, so I think there's a shift in that too.
Okay.
There's been a lot of companies and teams kind of coming over to our company at EXP, which just for the model and the agents, I think we provide a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
If you work it, right?
Right.
It's only as good as what you put in, right?
Right,
so
of course.
I think we have a lot of lot to offer agents. It's kind of where I'll leave it.
Well, and I think what I'm more interested in EXP itself, it's the, you know, what, how you have taken mm-hmm. to the model and what, you know, how that appealed to you and what you're doing with that.
Yeah, so we have 21 agents here locally in mm-hmm. Colorado Springs, all various levels of experience, from the mm-hmm. brand new agent to, you know, Tess. Mm-hmm. She's been, we call her the grandma. Please don't kill me, Tess. But
she's in her 30s.
Yeah,
but okay.
She's younger than me. But she's been doing real estate for like 8 years, you
right.
know. So we kind of lean on her a lot mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, that stuff that we just haven't experienced yet.
Right.
We've even leaned on you a little bit, like, hey, like, what do we do here?
Right.
But I think, we're excited. We just brought over 5 people from another team from another company. So we got their team lead, which has a ton of experience. And then we have a meeting Monday about starting a team in Hawaii.
Nice.
Which you'll like that, since you spend there like once or twice a year.
Yeah, well, 3 times this year,
okay,
right?
We're just doing a lot of cool stuff. We had some people join our organization from Hong Kong.
Right.
We've been having some meetings with people in Panama. So
this is cool.
Yeah, it's just a lot of moving parts. It's very exciting.
And just as a tie-in, you know, because most listeners know, you know, I do, you know, have a family law firm and we focus on family law, but my background, I did real estate litigation and among other commercial and business litigation, some other types of things, but that is in my background as well. And of course, real estate's always been an interest, as well as, you know, just the you know, I'm going to get you to weigh in on this, just this shift that has even happened over the course of the pandemic, you know, that's really opening people's eyes up to, you know, the world is a much, you know, larger place of opportunity in terms of working. Like, you're able to live in Florida and still lead your team here in Colorado, or, you know, go out to Hawaii and, you know, still work and lead your team. And in, you know, many ways that makes us much more versatile. So even though, like, for instance, I was in Nashville, you know, seeing some friends and, you know, one who is at the end of her life, and that's partly mm-hmm. why we were there. We didn't miss a step here back at the office. You know, there was still coverage there. The, you know, job continued to get done, but just that, you know, ability to kind of move freely about the world and grow a business, that's been important to me, and I think it's important to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the digital space, it's definitely something to take advantage of. I don't know if anybody's seen the movie Social Dilemma.
Yes.
It's very intriguing. Some people looked at it and got all freaked out, mm-hmm. and I looked at it and it's like, you're not stopping the train. The train's already moving,
right.
So why would you not try to take advantage of it and monetize it in a way that's going to set you and your family up? For instance, like, we're doing some cool stuff with like Amazon stores, Walmart stores mm-hmm. online, like mm-hmm. building them out for people, picking products,
right.
and it's all automated for them, right? I mean, I think with social media, it's, if you use it in the right way, you know, screen time, if you look at it, it's like 6 to 10 hours a day for people.
Right.
Right. So I just think if you have the right business model, and we both do, we can work from anywhere in the world, really. You should just really be taking advantage of it. Get out there, travel, you know, don't just save your money, spend it on stuff you like mm-hmm. earned and deserve. And I don't know, I love traveling, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what, I got to say, like, the way that you approach social was really, and I think it was maybe, I don't know. I give you a call from the car. Maybe it was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, when I
like
made that video while we were at Bristol Brewery.
Yeah. You were something. But it was very, it was sort of like, hey, yo, y'all, this is Andrew. I'm just here hanging out. And I'm kind of like, what is this kid doing? You know, I mean, this is crazy. But it's like you got all these hits and people liking it, interacting. And I'm like, you know, had to start to rethink it. Like, do I really have to, you know, because that was holding me back, this idea that, you know, things had to be just so and scripted and, you know, et cetera. And I think what I appreciated was, for one, your fearlessness and just getting into that space, but also how much, you know, people have enjoyed it. And like, you know, like, and I think that has shown in terms of people's engagement with TikTok, which is kind of a silly platform.
It is.
You know,
it's
people
silly,
dancing,
it,
and it's super fun. You're not on the
no,
on TikTok?
I'm not.
So I'll call everything the Facebook, the TikTok.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, you're not on that one
I'm
yet.
Not. I had to delete it. I was watching it too much. There's so much
done?
Good content on there that I'm like, all right. I'm like, before I know, I'm like 30 minutes in and I've watched like so many videos. I'm like, all right, enough. So I deleted it off my phone. I just got it back because someone sends me TikTok videos all the time, but
there's some funny stuff.
I know,
there's,
and I need to start getting on there, I think. So
right.
I was actually just, I forgot who I was talking with the other day, but we were talking about it. I'm gonna start creating stuff on there. So
yeah, that'll be cool. Well, yeah. We should do a collaborative something.
Let's do it.
My marketing manager is kind
just
of
don't
like,
make
hey.
Me dance.
Well, I mean,
I
I'm not sure I could. But that would be the funny part, right?
Yeah. I guess that is. Yeah.
Well, you're lucky here today. Well, I made a guest sing once, so I'm not going to make you sing or dance.
That's
here,
cool. If we want to do it, I mean, we are on camera. So.
But I do want to give you another opportunity to kind of, you know, lay out your details where people can get in touch with you, either, you know, like for your book, for real estate. I mean, and I know you mentioned Amazon stores and all kind of thing, you know. So Andrew Vos, Renaissance Man, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can, this may be a little dangerous, but you can give me a call or text at 315-651-1597. You can reach me on my Instagram. I answer every DM at Andrew M. Vos, last name spelled V as in Victor, O-S-E. Or you can add me on one of my Facebooks. I have two of them. The one with my daughter at Palmer Park is my main one. My other one is my Overflow. So, yeah, however you want to contact
me.
She
had too many friends. Too many friends.
Well,
can't contain
on Facebook,
you to
they,
one Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook,
page.
They only allow you 5,000. So
right.
Then you have to create another one. So.
Yeah, that's why I'm on my like third or whatever. But
yeah.
I mean, who's counting?
Yeah, who's
right?
counting? But yeah, I mean, yeah. And if you want a book, I am giving the first 100 away.
Nice.
If you're across the country, all I ask is that you pay shipping.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for taking the time out to stop and share yourself and our time here together. You have been listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with Angela Jones, sponsored by Brighter Day Law. We so appreciate you tuning in each and every week and look forward to spending time again with you next week.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.